We'll get this hearing started this morning. Ilana, are you able to hear me?
Sorry, yes, I am. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, very well. Very well. Sounds like we got a good connection. So,
thank you.
Good morning. My name is Pat Ward. I'm the administrative law judge pursuant to temporary appointment designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings at the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as the substantive hearing officer for this hearing. This is the hearing on the application of Basin Transload for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and waiver of procedures to authorize construction for a 7-mile length of 10-inch crude oil pipeline project in Burke County, North Dakota, identified and known as the Lignite Pipeline. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-12-775. The record will show that it is a little past 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, December 28, 2012. We're in the community room at the Burke County Courthouse in Bowbells, North Dakota, which is the time, date, and place set by the notice of filing and notice of hearing issued by ALJ L. Hoberg and the North Dakota Public Service Commission on November 21, 2012. On October 17, 2012, Basin Transload filed an application for a waiver of procedures and time schedules and for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit, all as I have previously recited and as is set forth in the notice of filing and notice of hearing and shown by the map which is part of the notice and which has been duly noticed and published in accordance with requirements of statute and the Commission's rules. The notice of filing and notice of hearing for this hearing specified the following issues to be considered and determined upon this hearing. The issues to be considered as specified on a notice of hearing are: one, is the proposed facility of such length, design, location, or purpose that it will produce minimal adverse effects, or does a demonstrable emergency exist which requires immediate construction and that adherence to applicable procedures would jeopardize the utility system? Number two, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Three, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? Four, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? Ms. Repnow, please state your appearance for the record.
Jillian Repnow on behalf of Fredrickson and Byron, and I'm here representing Basin Transload, LLC.
Okay, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, please state your appearance.
Yolanda Jeffcoat-Sacco, General Counsel of the Public Service Commission.
And anyone that will be appearing on behalf of Commission at the hearing?
Appearing on behalf of the Commission is Chris Marole, and I do request, if it's appropriate at this time, that he is allowed to ask questions.
Ms. Repnow, do you have any objection?
No objection.
Okay. Mr. Merrill will be permitted to ask questions at the hearing. If there is anyone else present other than witnesses for Basin Transload or the Commission who will or may testify or comment concerning this matter, we will do that upon the completion of Basin Transload's presentation. I encourage you to take the opportunity to tell the ALJ anything you think the Commission should know about this matter and to offer any information you may have for the Commission's decision. I assure you that what you have to say is important to the Commission and will be considered by the Commission. Sometime after the conclusion of this hearing, I will make recommended findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order to the full Public Service Commission. If you have any questions about your presentation, or if you have any documents, maps, photos, and the like that you want to show the Commission and wish to have made a part of the record of the hearing today, you should talk to me, please, during a recess, and I will answer any questions you may have concerning your presentation and help you get any documents you would like to present marked and made a part of the record. I cannot, of course, advise you or otherwise answer your questions concerning the merits of the application. In other words, when Ms. Repnow and Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco and Mr. Merrill are done with their presentation, we'll take a little break, and then I'll talk to anybody from the audience, from the public that wants to participate in hearing today. If you've got any maps, exhibits, or anything like that, we'll talk about that for a couple minutes, Then we'll go back on the record, and you'll have your opportunity to testify in front of this hearing. So we'll definitely get that done before we conclude the hearing today. Ms. Repno, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have three witnesses here with me today. First is Ray Sheldon with Basin Transload. Ray is going to discuss the general project design and construction and the operations, the factors that were used in selecting the project route and corridor and benefits of the project. And then also Crystal Koontz is here from ECI, and she will discuss the cultural and environmental factors that were considered. And also here is Gary Overson from Tesoro. Gary does not have prepared testimony, but he's here to answer any questions about the operation of the pipeline that Ray or Crystal are not able to answer. I would call Ray Sheldon.
Mr. Sheldon, please step up to the microphone and the desk there. Mr. Sheldon, I'm required by law to advise you of the law regarding perjury in this state. Perjury is a false statement under oath of a material fact made by a person who knows or does not believe the statement to be true at the time it is made. Perjury is a Class C felony. A Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of the penalty for perjury, please raise your right hand so I can administer the oath. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Can you push the button? Could you please state your full name?
Ray Sheldon.
Could you please tell us your employer and business address?
Basin Transload, LLC, 3529 Gable Road, Billings, Montana.
And what is your position with Basin?
I'm director of development, and for this project manager.
Could you just briefly discuss your education and work history?
Yes, I have a bachelor's and master's degree in mining engineering from Montana School of Mines and Technology. I also have an MBA from the University of Montana. I have 30 years of experience working for utility companies, Montana Power, MDU, and then more recently, private development, doing energy development projects in Montana and North Dakota.
And what is your role with respect to this project?
Again, I'm project manager for the project. I've been leading the design efforts and project scoping and development of the project, including the engineering and permitting or environmental review areas.
And there's an exhibit in front of you marked Exhibit 1. Before we look at that, I would offer Exhibits 1 through 10.
Okay, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see the exhibits, but they've been pre-marked. I think Mr. Merole has had an opportunity to look at them. Just curious whether either of you would have any objection to my admitting all the exhibits at this time. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco? Okay, Mr. Merole?
I have no objection.
Okay. Those exhibits will be admitted.
Thank you. And could you tell us what Exhibit 1 is?
Yes, it's our application for the consolidated certification of corridor and route permit.
Okay. And was this application prepared under your control and supervision?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And if you could open the second binder, the first document has been marked as Exhibit 2. Do you recognize that document?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
It's the route map for the proposed pipeline and corridor route.
Okay, and could you turn to what's also been marked as Exhibit 3 and tell us what that document is?
Let me just interrupt and ask, do you by any chance have a blow-up of the route map that we could put up for the people to
I
see?
I do not, I'm sorry. I have extra copies if...
Let's pass some copies around.
Okay. I'm sorry, could you tell us what Exhibit 3 is?
Yes, it's the proposed route for the pipeline.
And does the map accurately depict the route proposed for this project?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. Now, referencing that Exhibit 3, could you please provide us with just a general description of the project?
Yes, the pipeline, 10-inch pipeline, would originate at the Tesoro truck receiving station just north of Highway 5, west of the Lignite Junction. It would proceed directly south across Highway 5. That would be a bore under the highway. We'll proceed across that corridor kind of diagonally, crossing both the two Enbridge pipelines, and it'll cross the DMVW rail line, where it's the rail line is north-south orientation. We'll go directly east-west under that, and then follow the generally follow the rail road corridor going to the west, six more miles to the basin transload transloading site.
Thank you. Could you please turn to what has been marked as Exhibit 4? Do you recognize this document?
Yes, I do.
And what is it?
It's a map showing the area in immediately south of Highway 5 where we cross in. The original route was laid out, and then after we laid out that route, we revised the route slightly due to avoid a wetlands that is under a U.S. Fish and Wildlife conservation easement.
Great. And is that reroute within the survey corridor?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Who is going to own and operate this pipeline?
Upon completion of the pipeline, the ownership will be transferred to Tesoro Logistics, and they will be the operator and will maintain the pipeline at that point in time.
Could you discuss for us the need for this project?
Yes, we built the transloading facility located at Stampede, North Dakota, over the last couple of years. The volume of oil that has been demand for moving oil through that facility has increased, and the need to bring oil into the site requires the addition of a pipeline access to allow for the additional volume of oil.
Okay, and turning to the design of the pipeline, could you just describe the right-of-way that will be required for this project?
For most of the route, we have acquired a 70-foot wide permanent right-of-way easement with an additional 50 feet for the construction activities. The pipeline, again, will cross Highway 5. That'll be a horizontal directional bore. Requirements are to be a minimum of 11 feet under the road, and will be well below that. There are six township road crossings. Those will be open cut, and road repairs will be made on those. The crossing on the DMVW railroad will be a directional bore, again, minimum 11 feet under the rail bed. And we have several wetland areas that will be avoided or will bore under those, and three Army Corps of Engineer jurisdictional crossings that will all be directionally bored. The pipe itself, it'll be a 10-inch nominal pipe. Design is suitable for the operating pressure, maximum operating pressure of 1,480 PSI. With a maximum capacity, flow capacity of 80,000 barrels per day. The pipe will be all coated, FBE coated, throughout the length and protected with cathodic protection. The areas where they're bored under the highway and the railroad will be thickened pipe, and all the bores will have an additional abrasion-resistant coating to protect the pipe.
Thank you. And will any temporary or permanent roads be constructed as a part of this project?
No permanent roads will be constructed. We'll use the existing roads to access the route. The route itself will be routed, so I guess you could say there'd be temporary roads along the route during the construction, but they will not be remain after the construction period.
Okay, and you mentioned the flow rate would be 80,000 barrels per day. Is that different from the original application?
It is. In working with Tesoro on the design of the project, we made a couple of rather small modifications to this project to allow for future volume potential. The initial volume is anticipated to be about 15,000 barrels a day, but provide for the additional volume capacity if needed in the future.
But are there any changes in the diameter or otherwise changes in the design?
There were no other changes in the design.
Okay. And what surface facilities will the project include?
There will be a receiving station or at the origin at the Tesoro truck receiving station. There'll be valve station and whatnot to enter the pipeline. At the destination, there will be a meter station, valve station, before it leaves the pipeline into the existing storage facility that we have there, Stampede now. There will be no surface facilities along the line of the pipeline other than pipeline markers. And in about in the middle, there'll be a rectifier station to provide the suppressed current for the cathodic protection.
Okay, could you please turn to Exhibit 5 in the binder? And just tell us what that document is, please.
Yes, that's a plat map of the showing the connection facilities that will be located near the existing storage facilities. Again, a pipeline will come in from the east, come along the north side of the existing containment area for the storage facility, and we'll have a valve and metering station, including some tanks for overpressure or overflow from the pipeline, and a meter loop or a proving loop to prove the metering.
Thank you. Can you just give us a description of the storage facility and then what its connection is to this pipeline project?
Yeah, the storage facility involves a 8-truck truck receiving LAC station and then a 100,000 barrel tank. It's a 120-foot diameter, 48 feet tall, has an internal floating roof design, has both an electronic and mechanical metering or measurement system to monitor the level in the tank. That was all constructed to support the transloading facility for trucks to receive trucks and then be able to move that oil from the trucks to the rail cars. The pipeline connection is an addition to that, to be able to provide the additional capacity into the system, as we talked about earlier.
Thank you. Could you describe for us the anticipated schedule for construction of this project?
Yes, we anticipate starting construction hopefully late January, pending approval of this application. We'd proceed with the construction of the bore areas and the I'll call them spongy areas first, so we can get through those areas while we take advantage of the cold weather, and then finish the rest of the route as later on. So we'd anticipate being complete with construction around the end of the first quarter.
And could you discuss the personnel that will be involved in construction?
Yes, our sister company, Treco Constructors, will be the general contractor and provide the trenching work and pipe stringing and that sort of thing. We would have a subcontractor provide the boring services and probably a separate subcontractor provide the welding services for welding out the pipe. Those contractors have not been selected at this time.
And will you or anyone else at Basin be involved with oversight of the construction?
Yes, I'll be directly involved in oversight of the construction on behalf of Basin. We have a couple of engineers that will be involved with us. And then, again, our sister company, Treco, would be the general contractor.
Thank you. And will this project be designed, constructed, and operated in compliance with all applicable federal and state regulations?
Yes, it will.
Can you tell us what steps Basin will take during construction to avoid the spread of noxious weeds?
Yeah, when we bring the construction equipment into the site, we'll wash it and have it prepared for the construction work. It will not leave the construction site without being washed and prepared, and if it were to leave and come back, we'd again rewash the equipment and protect for that.
Thank you. Could you please turn to what's been marked as Exhibit 6? And could you tell us what this document is?
Yes, this is a certification relating to the order provisions for the transmission facility. It's been signed by James R. Bennett, who's the treasurer of our company.
Does Mr. Bennett have the authority to bind Basin with respect to the certification?
Yes, he does.
Thank you. Could you just discuss the benefits of this project?
Yes, this project at its provides additional outlet for crude oil production from the area. The facilities will represent an additional tax base to the state and county. During the construction period, there will be approximately 24 construction jobs and probably about 10% of those will be local folks. The operation, I believe Tesoro is expecting to add one person for the operation of their overall facility in this area. Additional benefit or intangible benefit in a sense is that this project and others like it are changing the market dynamics for crude oil and the discount rate that the North Dakota oil sees in the marketplace is being squeezed down because of these kinds of facilities, which is increasing the overall price to the producer, the value to the royalty holders, and also to the tax collections for those activities.
Okay, and turning to operation and maintenance of the project once construction is complete, what steps will be taken to ensure the project is operating in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations?
The operation of the project will be by Tesoro as part of their ongoing pipeline system in the state. They're a major pipeline operator in the state, and they have a full range of procedures and policies that they follow to assure safe and reliable operation of the pipelines. Maintain a full staff of well-qualified operators. They perform routine leak detection and monitoring. They do participate in the North Dakota One Call. As I mentioned earlier, the pipe will have cathodic corrosion protection, and that will be maintained by them. The pipe itself will go through regular periodic inspections and cleanings, and the pipeline route will be monitored, observed by the operating personnel. There'll be weekly aerial patrols. Internal pipeline inspections will be performed as required by the DOT regulations. And all of the operation and maintenance personnel will be trained and meet the requirements of the DOT for those training requirements.
And are Basin and Tesoro planning any measures that will increase public awareness of the pipeline and pipeline safety?
Yes, Basin is stays in contact with the local landowners and works with them. Tesoro is a member of the North Dakota Pipeline Association. We both promote contractor awareness through the One Call program and promote the 811 campaign as well.
Could you discuss what sort of steps would be taken to be prepared for an emergency situation that may arise?
The Basin Transload Facility, separate from the pipeline, but we have a spill prevention containment program and a emergency a facility response program that we operate. Tesoro has similar programs that they do for the pipeline side. So as a result, we have trained personnel in hazardous material handling and emergency response at our site, as Tesoro does with their pipeline operations.
Thank you. Your Honor, I have no further questions for Mr. Sheldon at this time.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, are you still out there? Or? Hey, Ms. Merle, Mr. Merle, any questions?
I just have one question. As far as responsibility for reclamation, you're transferring this to Tesoro. Is Basin still going to be responsible for reclaiming that land, or does that transfer to Tesoro?
Basin will reclaim the land prior to the transfer to Tesoro. Part of the acceptance of the transfer is that we'll have the reclamation completed, and we're providing a warranty, if you will, of 1 year on reclamation past that. We have, with the landowners, provided a reclamation bonding or bonding of that to the landowners.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Okay. I have a few questions. Have all of the easements been obtained for the route?
Of the 7 miles, we have written easements of 5 miles. We have verbal commitment to the other 2 miles.
And you talked about doing open cuts on some township roads. How long will those roads be out of service when those open cuts are done?
Our expectation is approximately 1 day.
And is there a plan for alternate routes or signing or something for alternate routes during that time?
We would designate or identify the roads at the highway. Primarily, they're all north-south roads coming off of Highway 5. We would provide signing or detour signing at Highway 5. And then on the other side, it kind of varies a little bit on the county road or the township roads to the south. So we'd provide signage at that point.
And tell us, at the point where the pipeline begins, it's going to be a crude oil pipeline. The crude oil is being collected from where?
It would be coming off of the Tesoro pipe system. Their current system covers a variety of areas, but basically covers from the Lignite area and south across past Tioga and then down to the Mandan refinery. So the oil would be coming from various places off that pipeline. Generally would be north of what they call Johnson's Corner and be moving north to our facility.
And currently that oil is being trucked out of there, is that correct?
Currently, the oil is all the oil to our facility is being trucked in. Additional oil that would go in would be trucked to wherever it's going to go. Where if it's going into the Tesoro pipeline, some of that's coming off a gathering system. Some of it's being trucked into various receiving systems on the Tesoro pipeline.
And when it gets to your storage facility, then what happens to it there?
At our storage facility, it goes into the tank, and then from the tank, it is pumped to the loading area, rail loading area that we have built, and is loaded onto rail cars going through, we call them meter carts. So all of the oil is metered into the tank. We monitor the level in the tank for integrity, and then we meter all of the oil from the tank going into the rail cars. Once it's in the rail cars are sealed, and most of the oil from the Stampede location is being shipped to Albany, New York.
And how much oil do you anticipate being stored at, you know, any one time between being unloaded into the rail cars?
The tank capacity is right at 100,000 barrels.
Do you have an estimate as to how many trucks that'll take off the road once it's completed?
I don't have one ready, but give me just a minute. I can give you an idea. the likely volume off the pipeline is going to be probably 40,000, 50,000 barrels a day at full production. The typical truck is 200 barrels. So if it was 50,000 barrels a day, 200 truckloads per day would be 250 trucks would be removed from the highway.
Okay. Any follow-up to those questions?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Merole?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Sheldon, you're excused. Thank you very much.
I'll call Crystal Kuntz.
Crystal, you were here when I gave the admonition regarding perjury. Perjury is a Class C felony, subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison or a $5,000 fine. Having been advised of that penalty, please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. Would you start by spelling your name for me?
Crystal Kuntz, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, Kuntz, K-U-N-T-Z.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Could you please tell us your employer and the business address?
ECI at 3521 Gable Road in Billings, Montana.
And what's your position with ECI?
I'm the Environmental Department Manager.
Thank you. Could you briefly discuss your education and work history?
I have a bachelor's degree in civil engineering with a master's in public relations, as well as an MBA from the University of Montana.
Can I just interrupt and ask you what ECI stands for?
Electrical Consultants Incorporated.
And is that the same address as where Mr. Sheldon works?
No.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Could you tell us your role with respect to this project?
Sure. I prepared the application.
Could you give us a general description of the project's environment?
Generally speaking, the overall area is rural in nature, generally agricultural, cultivated fields, some open grasslands for grazing. There are various existing creeks in the area, some prairie potholes, as well as some developed roadways, township roads, county roads, the highway that Ray had mentioned, as well as an existing railway.
Thank you. Could you discuss the approach that was taken to do the environmental analysis of this site?
ECI subcontracted to Wenken Associates to do a wetland delineation of the area, as well as an assessment for threatened and endangered species, a line of sight raptor survey, and a noxious weed survey.
Thank you. If you could please turn in that binder to the exhibit marked as Exhibit 7. Do you recognize this document?
Yeah, I do.
And what is it?
It's a copy of the field survey map that we utilized.
Was this map prepared at your direction?
Yes.
Thank you. Talking about the PSC siting rules, are there any exclusion areas located within the project corridor?
No, there are no exclusion areas in the corridor.
Are there any avoidance areas within that corridor?
No, there are not.
Will there be any significant adverse effects resulting from the location, construction, and operation of the project as those relate to the selection criteria of the commission?
No.
Thank you. Could you identify what studies were conducted in association with this project, starting with the cultural resource studies?
We conducted a Class 1 and a Class 3 cultural resource inventory by subcontracting that to Ethnoscience. A Class 1 cultural resource inventory is a file search of every section of property that was crossed by the corridor. And a Class 3 cultural resource inventory is a pedestrian ground survey of the actual corridor, so an actual walking of the corridor. The surveys found that there were 8 previous investigations conducted in this location, and from those previous investigations, there were one site lead, one existing site within the corridor, and then one site immediately outside of the corridor. Upon follow-up for the field survey on a Class 3 walkthrough, it was found that there was no existing evidence that still remains of the site lead within that corridor, and the second site is the actual railroad itself.
Thank you, and could you please turn to what's been marked as Exhibit 8 in the binder? Tell us what that is.
Exhibit 8 is a letter of concurrence from the State Historical Society that indicates that they concur with a no historic properties affected and a no significant sites affected determination that was made by the Cultural Resource Survey.
Thank you. Could you then discuss briefly the wetland and water body studies?
The wetland and water body determination was conducted again by Wenken Associates. That field investigation determined that there were 3 streams and 27 wetland basins within the project area. And as part of that, the 3 streams we submitted a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers requesting an assessment.
And could you please turn to what's been marked as Exhibit 9? Tell us what that document is, please.
This is a letter from the Army Corps of Engineers indicating that no further permitting would be necessary for the crossing of those three streams, provided that they're directionally bored.
Thank you. And could you then just briefly discuss the wildlife inventory that was done?
The wildlife inventory consisted of a habitat assessment as well as a review for any threatened and endangered species in the area. It was conducted across a 150-foot wide survey corridor. It was determined that although there was suitable habitat for piping plover and gray wolf in the area, there was no primary or secondary indication that these species inhabit the area.
Thank you. And could you finally discuss the tree and shrub survey that was completed?
A review of the project area indicated that there were very few trees or shrubs within the corridor. Any trees that are greater than 3 inches in caliper would be inventoried just prior to construction if they could not be avoided entirely, and would be replaced at a 2-to-1 ratio in compliance with landowner request.
Thank you. And based on these studies, could you discuss for us the impacts that could occur from the project and any mitigation measures that would be taken?
Okay. I'll go down by independent resource that was looked at in the application. To begin with, there was the human environment we looked at. Ray had mentioned there's no above ground appurtenances along the length of the line. Visual impact will be minimized as it's a buried facility. There will be temporary noise associated with construction. That will cease once construction has been completed. And then there will be additional minimization measures employed in compliance with landowner requests for access and stormwater as well. From a wildlife standpoint, there may be some temporary displacement of wildlife in the area if there are transient birds or something of that nature in the area. But no species of concern, as I mentioned earlier, have been identified within that corridor. From a plant life species, again, there's been no species of concern identified. There's no critical species in the area. Basin plans to revegetate the area immediately following construction, and they'll utilize standard best management practices for stormwater erosion control. In addition, Basin plans to wash all construction equipment on and off the site to preclude any noxious weed spreading. From a surface drainage perspective, there is no permanent impact anticipated. The general topography will not change significantly. Basin plans to work with the landowners regarding the alignment so that there's no surface impacts directly to the landowner. They'll return the disturbed areas to pre-construction contours as necessary and comply with the stormwater pollution prevention plan that will be prepared for construction. From a groundwater perspective, there are no water wells within the corridor, and we have a letter from the North Dakota State Water Commission indicating that there are no further concerns with respect to this resource. From a land use perspective, there are no recreational areas within the corridor, so there's no impacts to recreational areas. There are no significant impacts to agricultural use or other land uses in the area. Any impacts would be temporary and would occur during construction. Once construction is complete, again, the land will be returned to its pre-construction contour and revegetated as necessary. And any compensation as necessary will be paid for crop damage and other such avenues to the landowner. With respect to wetlands and water bodies, as I mentioned earlier, there were the three stream crossings that were identified. Correspondence has been received from the Army Corps of Engineers indicating that there's no significant impacts there, provided they're directionally drilled. Basin plans to limit work in these wetland areas and the stream areas to preclude any additional impacts to the extent that they can do so. And again, vegetation will be replaced as soon as possible after construction to prevent any erosion, and construction during the winter months, as mentioned, to preclude any access damage to wetlands and water bodies. With respect to trees and the shrubs in the area, again, there'll be a pre-construction survey and inventory for any trees or shrubs that cannot be avoided, and these will be replaced at a 2-to-1 ratio. With respect to cultural resources, the pedestrian survey indicated that there is no existing evidence of previously recorded sites in the area, so there's no need to mitigate for these. And then there'll be a plan implemented for any unanticipated sites that happen to be discovered through trenching or excavation. Construction will be immediately stopped, and the State Historical Society of North Dakota will be notified if that should occur. With respect to rare and unique natural resources, again, there's no threatened and endangered species within the corridor. Although there is some habitat that could exist for piping plover, again, in gray wolf, there's no evidence of those species within this area that's been cultivated. And BMPs will be, or best management practices will be implemented for stormwater and erosion control.
Thank you. And could you discuss the coordination efforts that were made with local, state, and federal agencies?
Table 2.2 in the overall application is a listing of all of the agencies that were consulted as part of the project. In general, there were no significant issues or concerns that were returned by any agency that was consulted.
Thank you. Could you please turn to what's been marked as Exhibit 10 in the binder? Can you tell us what that document is, please?
This is a list of the pipeline permitting and agency approvals that were gathered through that solicitation process.
Thank you. Does this checklist identify the current status of permits and approvals needed for this project?
Yes, it does.
Thank you. So based on your study and review, the exhibits and testimony you presented today, is the proposed facility of such length, design, location, and purpose that it will produce minimal adverse effects?
Yes.
Will the location, construction, and operation of this facility produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes.
Is this facility compatible with environmental preservation and efficient use of resources?
It is, yes.
And will the proposed facility location minimize any adverse human and environmental impact?
It will, yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Moreau.
I have no questions, Your Honor.
I don't think I have any either. Okay. You got off easy. Next witness?
I have no further witnesses, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Moreau, any witnesses? Okay, then I'm going to ask if anybody in the audience has a desire to participate in the hearing. I see one hand go up. Is that it? Or okay, that's Mr. Ryberg, right? Mr. Ryberg, why don't you step forward? Let me just ask you, do you have any exhibits you want to present today?
No.
Okay, then we won't need to go off the record to take care of that, so we'll just proceed. Again, you were in the room when I read the perjury admonition. I'll give it to you one more time. Perjury is a Class C felony. Class C felony is subject to a maximum penalty of 5 years imprisonment, a fine of $5,000, or both may be imposed. Having been advised of this penalty, please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay. First, just tell me your name.
Alan Ryberg.
And that's R-Y-B-E-R-G?
Correct.
Okay. And Mr. Ryberg, do you represent any entity or group here today?
Burke County Commission. Okay. I'm chair.
Okay, and just give us your address. You can just give us a town.
P.O. Box 69, Bowbells 58721.
Okay.
All I ask is instead of cutting the roads that they'd bore them, like they do with the state. And when we asked Alliance Pipeline about that, they had no problem. They're in the middle of doing their pipeline from Tioga to Sherwood now.
Okay, anything else on that?
Nope, that's all I got.
Okay, all right. Anybody else in the audience want to get up and testify? Make a point? Ask a question that I can pass on to the company? Okay, Mr. Sheldon, can we have Mr. Sheldon come back up here? Just to follow up on Mr. Ryberg's question, Mr. Sheldon, have you talked with the County Commission about that issue at all?
We have not. We were advised we needed to talk to the township supervisors. We did communicate with both township supervisors and received their approval for open cutting those roads.
How much inconvenience would there be to bore under those roads instead of cut the roads?
I don't have a great answer to your question. There would be some inconvenience for to that. It would be probably, there's some cost impact. Mostly it'd be a scheduling difficulty. Certainly there would be the advantage of not closing those roads during that day that we'd be cutting through those. It's certainly a topic that we can take under advisement and respond to the commissioners on.
Has there been any survey done of the amount of traffic on those roads at the time of year you're going to be doing this project?
None to my knowledge.
Okay. Do you know whether there are farms or homes that need those particular roads for access? I mean, is it the only way to get to some places? Do you know that?
No places that I'm aware of that would be the case. There is one farmstead that is just south of the tracks on one of the roads. I can't remember which road right now it is. But there is access from both sides to that location.
I would ask you to, if you would, revisit that issue with the county commissioner that's here and after the hearing, and try to see if there is coordination possible between the township supervisors and the county commission, and see what the company might be able to do to work around that issue so that we don't have that inconvenience to the public?
Certainly.
Okay. Anything else today, Ms. Ryber, for the good of the order? Ms. Repnow, for the good of the order.
Nothing from me, Your Honor. Oh. Thank you.
And Mr. Morrell?
Nothing from me, Your Honor.
And I don't think Ilana is still out there, so I'm going to just... anybody else? Before I close the hearing, I'm just going to close this down. Okay.
Honor?
Yes, Ilana.
I am here.
We lost you, I thought.
Well, I had it on mute, and I was looking at Bill.
Okay.
But I do have a question.
All right.
If the company and the county work out the all solution, how do you get them to submit the results?
Yes, we could. What we would do is ask for a late filed exhibit or a letter or something from council just advising us as to how that's resolved. I don't expect to get around to the recommended. I'm not sure when you plan to have recommended findings of fact proposed. I was just going to get to that, but I don't expect to get that done until at least the first week, maybe the 7th of January or thereafter. So if you could work this out between now and then.
I can do that. And I can also have the proposed findings to you by before January 7th.
Okay. That sounds good. Anything else, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that being the case, I'm going to close the hearing. The hearing on the application of Basin Transload for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and waiver of procedures is closed at approximately 11:50 on December 28th, 2012. Thank you all for participating.